You are listening to the
World Extreme Medicine Podcast.
Welcome back to the World Extreme Medicine Podcast with myself, Wayne Walker. In this conversation, we're going to be looking at the role of remote teleradiology with Nico Stromo. So we're interested in the conversation is explore the role of remote teleradiology, X-ray and POCUS at a mass motorcycle event that Nico has written up as an empirical paper. So we're interested to explore the utility, limitations, decision-making, benefits, and indeed proof of concept that Nico has demonstrated through this paper and indeed through this event. So the study looked at the provision of a field hospital equipped with a portable digital X-ray and telemedicine to a large mass sporting event in Italy in 2021. So the paper denotes data on patient admission to remote field hospitals and indeed triage, treatment, diagnostic, and indeed outcomes that were collected for analysis by the study. So we'll include this study in the show notes of the podcast for your reading. So to do this, I have Nicola Stromo with us. Nico is an anesthesia and intensive care resident at Humanitas University Milan. He's also an event medicine delegate for CIMAI. It's the Italian Medical Society of Extreme Environments. Nico, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a real pleasure.
Nico, firstly, could I just get you to speak to why you wanted to write this study up in the first place?
Well, since I was a student, I volunteered in similar settings and similar competitions with iHelp, which is an enterprise which specializes in assisting with mass gatherings and large sport events. And this actually was the first time that that we had this type of equipment. So we had the possibility to use portable X-ray. And we were genuinely curious if this was providing some advantages in our daily job in a pre-hospital setting. There were some publications, but very few, and they were mostly applied in home care, or for example, providing X-rays in nursing homes, but nothing related to sport events or major mass gatherings.
So indeed, it is a proof of concept of not only paper, but absolute study. So you do denote the benefits in the study. But before we look at the benefits and indeed some of the limitations, could you maybe unpack the event itself? So this was in 2021. It was the international 6 days of the Enduro where this study was conducted. Could you give listeners a feel and an idea of how challenging and large this event is?
Okay, so the International 6 Days of Enduro is often referred as the Olympics of motorcycle because it's one of the oldest and probably one of the largest events in off-road motorcycle. It lasts, as the name says, 6 days, where the riders have to face a wide variety of challenges. They have to be quite versatile, and they even have to repair their motorbikes by themselves with very strict rules on replacements. The 2021 edition was held on a vast area between Lombardia and Piemonte, two regions in the north of Italy. It involved 648 riders and a wide range of workers and members of the public. The terrain was rough, and as I said, the area was quite wide. The riders had to run for 1,250 miles along the competition. Furthermore, the local hospitals, according to the possible location of the incident, the local hospital was at least 30 to 60 minutes away by ambulance, and the major trauma center from 60 to 90 minutes away. And this is without taking into account the extraction times, because these trucks were absolutely inaccessible by ambulance. I think that another logistic challenge was also represented by the fact that they were evaluated, they were racing on special tracks, but the transfer from one track to the other was occurring on public roads, which could be off-road or concrete road. But however, even if they were not racing, they still had to respect some checkpoint times, and this could lead potentially to them racing and speeding on public roads. And this meant that we had to be very safe, on the safe side, and very careful in checking all the checkpoint time for all the racers.
So it's quite a dynamic race, Nico. You know, like you said, the segments which are on public roads, on then private or indeed disused roads, and it sounds like it's quite dynamic in nature. Could you maybe speak to sort of the medical provision that you used to sort of match this dynamic race, and indeed how many X-ray and point of care ultrasound machines did you have at the event?
Okay, the medical facilities were placed in the paddock area. So there was a field hospital with six beds for minor codes and 2 beds with critical care capacity. And also we were during COVID time, so we had one isolation bed. The core of the staff in the hospital was composed by one critical care doctor, 2 nurses, one radiology technician, and one orthopedic surgeon registrar. Additionally, there was one cardiologist in the team as well. The field hospital was equipped with an ultrasound machine, which is actually part of our standard equipment, and also with one portable X-ray machine. The radiology technician was the one responsible for operating the machine, and the images were sent via internet, were sent to a radiologist who was on call in a hospital, so through telemedicine, and then the radiologist was providing the report, and obviously we were able to call on the phone the radiologist we had for a question on a particular image. Next to the field hospital, next to the tent, there was what we call the mass event control unit, which is basically a truck equipped with some communication and dispatching technology. On this truck, we had the medical director, 2 critical care nurses acting as receivers, and then three medical technician, three technician acting as a dispatcher. We have to specify that in Italy, there's unfortunately the pre-hospital environment is still very regionally based. So we needed one technician for one region, one technician from the other region, because as I said, the competition was in an area between 2 regions, and then one technician from our team in order to coordinate the response. And this was concerning the dispatching center. Deployed in the field, we had the 10 mobile critical care teams composed by a doctor and a nurse, 5 basic life support ambulances, 4 off-road vehicles, and also the HEMS was available if deemed necessary, but this was activated from the regional system. Also, triage was made according to 3 codes. So the code 1 was the most severe, up to 3, which was the least severe. We have also a coding system based on color. So the red one is basically the code 1, yellow the code 2, and code 3 is green, because again, every triage system is a little bit different, so it's worth specifying it. And in our system, we were supposed to direct the code 1 and 2, so the most severe, directly to the hospital, to the local hospital. And the code 3 were supposed to come to the field hospital in order to for us to provide them care. So in the, but you know that then in a pre-hospital, sometimes things they go, don't go exactly according to the plan, but that was the initial plan.
So, Nico, we were going to look at the challenges actually of X-ray machines in the field shortly. And there were some sort of subtle and some not so subtle challenges, I believe. But before we do, could you maybe just unpack the case for remote X-ray machines at mass sporting events?
Yeah, so These events, they usually occur in austere and remote environments. The location of the incident is difficult to access. The hospital is usually far away. Additionally, these events are often rich with medical encounters, in particular of traumatic nature. The ideal medical system of these events is the one that is able to treat most of the cases on site. Having a portable X-ray machine helps the clinicians to make more informed decisions because you're able to have a more precise diagnosis. And this implies that we can provide maybe the right treatment on site, reducing the burden on the local healthcare system, and in the same time, avoiding, for example, the patient to wait a long time in the ER. Notably, I think we have to specify that when we talk about the portable X-ray as a tool, we actually think about the old team. So this technology to be well used and to provide some advantages need to have a full team of the radiology technician, the nurses and the doctors starting the care of the patient, and also an orthopedic surgeon to finalize the care of the patient if it's possible to do it on site. So this requires a bigger amount of resources and coordination than simply thinking about it as a single tool.
So looking at the study, could you maybe speak to the sample size and indeed how many patients directly benefited from X-ray or indeed point of care ultrasound?
Okay, so in the field hospital, we received 79 patients. Interestingly, 80% were trauma related. So there was still 20% of patients that were non-trauma, and this was quite interesting because this shows that if the competition lasts a little bit longer than a single day, you also encounter pathologies that are in the field of general practicing. So for example, you have to be prepared to face a stomachache, otitis, and this is something that maybe you don't think about when you plan an event like that. And also, out of 79 patients, 47 were competing athletes, but the rest were member of the staff or the public. And again, this is something that was not expected. Out of these 79 patients, 31 benefited from, took an X-ray during their care. But I would like to detail this a little bit later because also I think having the ultrasound, an ultrasound machine, which is probably now a standard of care for all the medical facilities, is also useful. But we know that taking care of a trauma, doing the fast echography, for example, again, is a standard of care. But also we had some patients, for example, with chest pain, so being able to assess the contractility of the heart by echocardiography is obviously extremely useful. And one particular case that I found very interesting was the father of an athlete who came with a swollen calf, and we did the ultrasound of the inferior limbs, and we found a thrombus, and then we were able to make the diagnosis and to start the treatment directly on site. However, even if I think that having ultrasound is the standard of care, our focus of the study was on X-ray machine, portable X-ray machine, which actually could be complemented with ultrasound because I noticed that the surgeons, the orthopedic surgeons, were quite skilled with the musculoskeletal ultrasound, which can obviously complement the images for traumatic injuries.
So looking at the adage and indeed utility of remote teleradiology, so remote X-ray, could you maybe speak to how much it truly benefits the clinician in decision-making when it comes to fractures and or acute trauma?
Well, we know that when you take care of a major trauma, thorax and pelvic X-rays are a part of the standard exams. However, in our triage system, as I said, we were meant to transfer major traumas directly to the main hospital. And even if these patients were transferred for maybe a rendezvous for stabilization to the field hospital, they will still have managed, they will still have been transferred to the main hospital for definitive care. So I think that in talking about major trauma, it's not a population where you actually benefit from this technology. However, according to the epidemiology of this type of sports, there's actually a study on previous editions of International 6 Days of Enduro, where you can actually see that most of traumas they are peripheral traumas, so limbs traumas, and this is what we witness as well. And this type of traumas, if you suspect a fracture, obviously you would need an X-ray. And if you have the whole team on site, so you also have the orthopedic surgeon, it could take a more informed decision, having the diagnosis, the correct diagnosis, and maybe it can decide to treat the patient on site, providing definitive treatment. And this obviously is a huge benefit for the patient. And in the meantime, we have to take into account that when we treat athletes, we're talking about a special population. So we have to take into account the psychological and human aspects as well. So for this population, an injury can mean that they jeopardize their career. So there's sometimes they just want to keep going. They want you to fix them and to finish the race. And being able to have a diagnosis which is more precise with imaging could allow that if they had an injury that was not solvable, was not treatable on site, and they were forced, unfortunately, to seek further care in the hospital, for example, because they needed surgery. If you have the image, if you take the image and you show them that they have a fracture and you talk them through, they are more willing to accept your decision, and it will be on the psychological side for an athlete. I think it's important.
So, Nico, looking at the challenges, because like you said, it is diagnostic in certain terms, and it is quite the evidence is very much there to support X-ray, but it's also pretty definitive as well. But it's not without challenges. Could you speak to some of the challenges that you denote within the paper?
So there are obviously some technological challenges and organizational I would say logistical challenges. It's a better way to express it. So first of all, it's power supply. Luckily, we had access to the local electrical grid, so for us was not a challenges. We also had a diesel generator for backup. But again, this is the first thing you have to come to that has to be taken into account, because the battery of this machine was lasting 4 hours in standby mode, and it was able to take up to 100 X-rays. So not bad, but still, obviously, it's limited. And also, these machines, when they are applied in the pre-hospital, they have to be very light, very robust. This was 3.5 kilograms, very small, so and also quite robust. So I think it was a good tool, but again, it has to be taken into account. One thing that is difficult actually is taking into account the radiation exposure, because we know that the pre-hospital environment is, per definition, a less standardized environment. However, when you use something that emits radiation, you need to adhere to strict safety protocols. So this is why we decided to have a technician, a radiology technician operating the machine, because they are especially trained also on safety protocols and to mitigate the radiation-related risks. I think, however, there is space to improve the legal and deontological aspects in, for example, informed consent in, and they have to adapt it to, they have to be adapted in the pre-hospital environment. In our setting, what we did is that we created a separate room, we shielded the technician and the patient, and we tried to use it to let just the technician operating the machine and to keep it as far away as possible from the other people. The other thing, obviously, is that to have this machine, to make it useful, you need to send the images. So you need Wi-Fi. We had the two 5G's redundant network, and also we had a satellite system. We were using Starlink basically, if we had again troubles in connection. And also we were in an area where phone was we were able to also talk on the phone. So sometimes we had to call the radiologist to have more insight on the images, and this was actually possible. So I think these are the main challenges in terms of logistics.
And you also denote sort of Wi-Fi challenges as well, like reliance on Wi-Fi, like which is good, like you said, to have default or backups of the phone if the Wi-Fi isn't necessarily working or it's too remote for Wi-Fi. But also, like you said, it's moving the machines is becoming easier, but only 3.5 kilograms, so it's really not that heavy. But it is reliant on, like you said, the communication modalities of Wi-Fi and indeed cellular connection as well to speak to the radiologist. Could you maybe speak to some of the second and third order issues that you had with the machines? So, you know, remote consultation, could you speak to, and then like you said, the variety of signals you were getting of Wi-Fi, how did you sort of overcome some of these challenges?
Well, I was actually we sorry, we were actually able to have connection because we thought about the fact that there could have been connection issues in the in remote areas as always. So I think that what we should do when we plan events like that is to always have redundancy in the connective systems. So for example, these machines were able to work very well with simple 5Gs, which now are very, very cheap. So create redundancies, have more than one, for example. And then I think now you need to work with a satellite system. So for example, in our case, well, we use Starlink, but again, satellite system is a very good backup if 5G fails. And obviously, you have to imagine that you take the image, and then you need a computer to use the to send the image to the radiologist. But again, sometimes the re and then sorry, the radiologist has to provide a report. So he sends you an email with the report. But sometimes the report, you know, even when you work in a hospital, sometimes you want to talk to the radiologist because you don't really understand the report, or maybe you were focusing, you wanted to know something, and the radiologist thought that your focus was on another detail. So you still have to be able to call the radiologist and to talk about it. And obviously you need, and this is something that we were lucky because we had our eager radiologists on the other side, but you need someone that has to be available all day long on the other side of the wire, and has to be not busy with other tasks because the reports have to be provided on time.
Nico, that's a great point. Like you said, there has to be that semblance of planning for having someone, like you said, there to interpret the images. So it isn't, like you say, quite as simple. But could I get you to speak to some of the direct benefits of this study, and indeed what the study highlighted in conclusion?
Yeah, so going back to the numbers, well, we had 31 patients who underwent x-rays. Out of these 31, 11 had a positive finding. Out of these 11, which had a positive finding, as I said, 5 received definitive treatment on site. So they received, for example, bracing, casting, they got their shoulder dislocation reduced, and they had a post-reduction x-ray to control the maneuver, the realization of the maneuver. And this is quite interesting because they would have gone to the hospital otherwise, and thanks to x-rays, they didn't have to go to the ER. 3 were hospitalized because they had injuries that required surgery. And 3 received, let's say, first-line treatment, and then they were able to seek medical care according to their preferences. And I would like to speak more about this third category in a minute. Of the remaining patients, so there were remaining 20 patients out of 31 with a negative result. I don't want to go too much into the data. You can download for free the articles where you have all the details. But the most important thing is that out of these 20 patients with negative results, 7 were able to continue the race. So imagine, otherwise they would have needed to go to the hospital, withdraw from the race, go to the hospital, spend a lot of time, and then discover that they could have potentially continued the race. Obviously, here we are talking about a very special population. So these people, they invest a lot of time, money, and they train all the time to be there. So you really provide a huge benefit if you allow them to finish the race. And even in the category with negative finding, we had 3 patients who were able to seek care according to their preference. So overall, 6 patients were treated. Let's say they received a first line treatment, and then they were able to be sent home for definitive treatment. We have to realize that this was quite surprising for me, because I didn't plan it in advance. I didn't thought that this was a possible advantage. However, we have to think that these competitions are often international. So there's people, most of the riders and most of the people, their families, the workers are internationals. They don't come from Italy, for example. And if you are able to let them go home to be treated, you give them several, you help them quite a lot, because, for example, they can have more affordable treatments. Maybe there is insurance coverage or government support that let them have easier access to healthcare. You reduce the logistical challenge because, for example, they can have their relatives, their loved ones visiting them in the hospital, bringing them what they need. There is a better adherence due to follow-up. The doctors there can access their medical records. And also, imagine in our situation, we were in a rural area in Italy. If you sent them a patient to the local hospital, nobody, or probably few people, were able to speak in English. So imagine the patient, imagine to be in a hospital. You don't understand what's happening to you. You don't understand the diagnosis. They provide you with documents that are not in your native language. Well, this is quite a scary situation. And I think that also, like last but not least, I think this was probably the major advantage that we tend to forget, but this was all occurring during COVID pandemic. So reducing the burden on the local healthcare was probably one of the major advantage.
So, Nico, as we sort of finish off and come into land, could you maybe speak to just how cases such as this can inform the way we resource, triage, and indeed treat patients in mass sporting events in the future?
Well, for example, from this study, we could conclude that if you have a large elite sport event, which occurs in a remote area and with a high likelihood of traumatic events, having this portable X-ray technology could make a difference. However, I think that our study had several limitations, and I hope that by publishing this study, we will be able to encourage people to go on and go further and let do a larger, well-controlled and study, and maybe repeat it on different type of settings in order to improve the external validity. So, talking about the briefly about the limitations in order to help other people to better design a study like that, I think that in the future we could focus more on increasing the number of patients because our set was quite small, and to do it in different type of settings because obviously this could be useful in a setting of high traumatic events, but maybe if there's a smaller event or less likelihood of traumas, maybe not that useful. And I think the second aspect that I encourage people to look into is the cost-benefit analysis. Because you need, first of all, to purchase the X-ray machine. Then you need to maintain it and has to be always calibrated. You need to have the full team operating the machine. So for smaller sport events, maybe this, with a limited budget, this could be quite cumbersome. A solution to that maybe could be to show that you're actually just don't just take into account the money per se, but you're actually saving resources for the public healthcare system. So a solution to that could be maybe doing a partnership with the local healthcare organizations, seeking sponsors, and maybe the athlete can have their specific their event insurance, which covers radiological diagnostic. And I think that in general, these studies are useful because, well, if we don't discover stuff like that, we cannot improve the quality of the pre-hospital care. However, something that it's very difficult, I think, in the pre-hospital care is collecting data, because the resources are limited by definition in the environment. And if you plan in the planning, you say that you want to allocate a staff member for data collection, well, people will look at you as you are wasting resources in a moment where resources are very needed for taking care of patients. However, if I think that if we don't collect data, if we don't analyze them, we don't realize what we're doing wrong and maybe what could be where's room for improvement. So maybe we could do some brainstorming, share ideas, and also what we are trying to do is to move from a paper chart to electronic medical record because obviously it's way easier to extract data. And but again, this is quite costly, so maybe for small organizations this is not worth it. So I think this is something that has to be explored further in other studies. And I think that if we want to look into the future of why these studies could be useful in the near future, well, we have in 2026 there's the Winter Olympic Games in the north of Italy, and technology like this, for example, could be very, very useful.
I think absolutely to your point, Nico, the real utility here is the remoteness of the medicine you're practicing just negates the on those fringe cases, which there's plenty of, is it a sprain, is it a strain, is it a fracture? you know, having definitive diagnostics at point of consultation is absolutely powerful because, as you said before, the nearest hospital may be an hour, 2, 3, 4 hours away, and it's to allow better decision making at point of consultation is absolutely powerful in these dynamic events, and it's very empowering as well for the clinician, and hopefully, like you said, it could become a standard of care in the future. But proof of concept studies such as this need to occur, as you said, so there could be studies with more power, more sample size, to really start to look at the external validity and look at whether this could be part of the standard of care for mass events, mass sporting events. But it's a fantastic study. We'll put it in the show notes of the podcast, so that listeners can read it. And thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you very much. That's been a real honor.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Please feel free to rate, review, and subscribe on whichever platform you're listening to. Please also head over to the World Extreme Medicine website, where you can find more engaging content on extreme medicine webinars and indeed the collection of courses from our global network, including humanitarian, disaster relief, expedition, space, military, tactical, and performance medicine. Thanks again.